Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for all of you who have testified. Yes, thank you, Dennis, the father of Grace Joy. Thank you for being home for close to 2 months. Glory be to God. It's very important for the children, amen? It's very important for who? For the children. Yes, for their parents to be, yeah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes, now last week we talked about bearing fruit to lay hold of eternal life. All right? And we're going to continue with that subject today. Glory be to God. Yeah, specifically, we are going to look at the role of the Word of God and the role of prayer, okay, in as far as bearing fruit to lay hold of eternal life is concerned. Glory be to God. Okay? So last week we read Romans 6 from verse 19 to 23, and we are going to read it again. Amen? Romans chapter 6, verse 19 to 23. It says that, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. All right? Present your mind, present your body, present everything about you. That's what it means by presenting your members, okay? So present them as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Is death. And here death means being eternally separated from God. Okay? And of course, you know, in hell, if I should say. Glory be to God. So, remember, this verse is talking, Paul is writing to Christians. He's not writing to unbelievers. There is no single episode, single letter that Paul wrote to unbelievers. Glory be to God. There's none in the Bible. Okay? So this he's writing to Christians. And he's telling them that when you were slaves of sin, before you got saved, that is verse 20, you were free in regard to righteousness. Okay? You did all manner of evil. And verse 21 says that for the end of those things is death. Okay? It is death even for those who are born again. Then it says, verse 22, but now, having been set free from sin, okay, you've gotten born again, and having become slaves of God, you are a slave of God. I hope you know that. Glory be to God. You have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So everlasting life is for those who have fruit to holiness. Glory be to God. Remember, he's talking to Christians. And that he's implying that Christians who don't have fruit to holiness are not going to have eternal life when Jesus returns. Glory be to God. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Okay, the wages of sin is eternal separation from God. Okay, Carol, who is Paul writing to? Believers. He's telling them that you believers, the wages of your sin, if you continue to practice sin, okay, instead of eternal life in verse 22, in verse 23 he's saying that you're going to receive eternal death. Okay? Okay, until last week, I used to think that this scripture was for unbelievers only. Alright? It is a scripture, if any one of you, you preach to people, you evangelize, or you are taught, how to win souls, this is one of the scriptures you're taught to tell unbelievers. Okay, that the wages of sin is death. Okay, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Alright, so because we were taught to use it to minister to unbelievers, okay, we somehow, should I say consciously or unconsciously, thought and believed that it doesn't refer to Christians. Okay, but in the context, remember I've read from verse 19, okay? In context of all those scriptures, this verse is, Paul is primarily talking to believers. And he's telling them that the wages of your sin, if you continue to be a slave of unrighteousness, okay, you are going to receive death, eternal separation from God. You will not live with God for all eternity. Okay? Then he says, the gift of God, okay, he says, but the gift of God. Okay? I remember last week we learned that this gift, eternal life, okay, in the context of this scripture is given to those, to Christians who are slaves of righteousness. Glory be to God. Meaning that they are Christians who are not going to receive the gift of eternal life. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Okay? Yes. Now, when I was talking about, when we read, these scriptures which have the word slaves, right now in the world, there is talk, about anti-racism, which is good. Okay? Black Lives Matter. Okay? I hope you also know that white lives matter, and yellow lives matter, all lives what? Matter. So, yeah. And now, most of the world, like most blacks who are in Europe and in the States, they got there, okay, because of slavery, okay? They were taken as slaves, and not those who are there, but they are, they are what? Ancestors, alright? Yes. Yeah. And yeah, they are discriminated against. Alright? We just like, even here in Uganda, we are all blacks, but what? One time I was traveling from somewhere in, years ago, I worked in different places of the country, okay? Up country. I used to work up country. Many places in the west, in the north, West Nile, So I was in a bus, traveling back to Kampala from somewhere, and, cops stopped us on the road. I was in a bus, those buses. And then, when they let us go, one of the passengers, okay? You say that, man, this animal had stopped us. The animal had what? Had stopped us. Okay? And in that tribe, I think everyone who's not of that tribe is referred to as an animal. Okay? So you can see now we are all black, okay? But again, we discriminate against each other. You understand? So, racism is basically tribalism. It is, alright? There's a friend of mine who was in a university somewhere while he was in school. So they went for evangelism, okay, to some place, okay, as students. So they got whatever, buses or taxis and went in some rural area to evangelize, okay? So, and they were in touch with some people there who are going to receive them and take them to where they should preach the gospel. So he told me that when they got there, now all these are locally saved people. The people who are receiving them are also saved. Okay, but the guy said that when they reached there, so they get out of the taxi, these guys, what? Welcome them, okay? Then, then as they're there, you know, they had one of the ladies who had come to receive them. Emrokoli had her telling other people, okay, that, you know, only one person has come. only one person has come. You understand? As in, among all those guys who have come, okay, there's only one of our what? We try. So, only one person has come. Okay, others are what? So you see, but that's not what I wanted to say about this anti-racism thing. I am suspicious of this anti-racism thing, which is now what? I'm very suspicious. Every time you see, especially Europeans, okay, getting together, you know, to fight a cause, to fight something, and all of a sudden they are all involved, usually there is something that is wrong. Something evil they are up to. I'm telling you. Alright? You see, so this anti-racism thing begins, which is a good thing, okay, if only the motive is good. You understand, eh? Then all of a sudden I was watching TV the other day, and Germany, okay, has given some money to Namibia because of what they did to them, the genocide, which they did there in the early 1900s. Then France is apologizing to all, is accepting its responsibility, okay, in the genocide in Rwanda. NBA has come to Africa. It's like all of a sudden now, the black guys were the white, you understand? And the guys who are fronting it are not good guys. It's like all of, it's a wave. It's, you know, there is a, now in the past when they did now, like in South Africa, okay, when they got apartheid out of the way, okay, they used that, okay, to get the South Africans to accept without fighting, okay, to accept homosexuality. Because you can't discriminate against people. You remember once upon a time, the whites discriminated against you. Now how can you discriminate against your fellow human? Because of their what? Sexual, like, orientation. You understand? So you can see, it's like, apartheid in South Africa was not really stopped because they really, it was a bait to bring in something which you can't resist. Okay? Hence the fame of people like Desmond, what? Tutu, that guy is a fake guy. But he's a celeb, he's highly recognized in the world. Stupid guy, man. Okay? When you listen to the nonsense he speaks. So this thing for me, what? Okay, I'm not, I want racism to end. And by the way, it won't end until what? The Lord who comes, but it should be fought, okay? However, when evil guys, evil chaps guys who are anti-God, anti-God, okay, now get in the lead of something, okay? And there is history to back up that they have never been for any good, okay? When they appear like they're doing good, there is something else that they are what? Anyway, those are my views. Okay, but when you send me those things of to spread what, I won't. Because, you know, but I'm against racism, by the way. Okay? I experienced it. You know, I've experienced it in the States. I've experienced it in Uganda. Okay? Racism in the form of tribalism, you know. So I'm against it, but I am not, you know, joining Black Lives Matter. By the way, this something I watched, and you can find it if you want, where some of the leaders of Black Lives Matter said that this is a spiritual movement. Okay? And they said it is there. They said that before they begin the what? Protest, they first go and whatever the spirits of the dead. Yeah? You know, then they come, man, Wenga waliwe echibamba the which makes every fool, okay, we join them. They said it. This it's a spiritual. They said it. The first. Have you watched it? Yes or no? You haven't. I should look for it. They said, you know, they first go, then they invoke the whatever the things which they do rituals to invoke the spirits of the dead. Then they come. Okay? No one, anyway, for me, I'm not falling for this thing. Glory be to God. These homosexuals, anti-God, okay? I was telling my wife that I think maybe because Africa has generally resisted homosexuality, so I was like, maybe they have decided to now trick her, you know, to come, like they're fighting for us, they, you know, they love us so much, then we know, then after, you know, then they, you understand? I don't know what they're up to, but all I know is that it's evil. Okay? But God can use them for good, alright? But I'm telling you, let's just watch, hallelujah, but I'm not what? I'll fight racism in my own what? In my own way, with my own people, but not with what? With those evil chaps. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. But that was a by the way. Yeah, but be careful. Be what? Be very careful. Okay, be discerning. Don't just get on people's bandwagons. Be very careful. Okay? Be very careful. Be slow to take sides. Be very slow to take sides. Okay? Fight evil, okay? But you don't have to fight evil together with some evil chaps. You understand? Especially when they're the ones who are leading that cause. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. They are fighting for you so that you can get a good president. You know, I always tell people that, man, these guys, they looked at us. You know, they study, they do research. They study your people, your environment, how you think, how you reason. Okay? They studied you Ugandans. Okay? And they saw that you are so stupid that you can elect Bobi Wine as your president. In a sense, what they did, in a sense, was good. They exposed us to ourselves that we are that daft. You know, they didn't go for Mugisha Muntu. Baba Soma Nevala, what the rubbish you write on Facebook, how you think, how you reason, you know, they watched what you, the programs you have on TV, on radio, you know, the talk you're involved in, and they are like, these ones can vote an idiot as their president. And now they put him forward. I'm telling you, they reveal, according to them, they wish us good. They want to give us this drug addict man. What? I'm telling you now, those are the guys who wish you well, who wish you good. Can you imagine? And now you want to join them to fight racism. You don't have to join them. You can fight it in your own heart. Hallelujah. It is so, but on the other hand, it was good that they somehow revealed us to ourselves. Is that the right thing? So they helped us to realize that, man, we are Ugandans, Okay, and we should do something about it, people. Hallelujah. We should become more sensible, so that now when they study us, they're like these ones. We need to get them a serious guy. And maybe we trick the serious guy after he has come into power, and if he refuses to do our stuff, we assassinate him. Okay? Anyway, man, those are, my thoughts. All right? And some of them, not all of them maybe, but some of those thoughts are God's thoughts. Hallelujah. Amen? So, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Okay? The wages of sin for Christians who are slaves of unrighteousness, is death. Okay? But the gift of life for Christians who are slaves of righteousness is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this issue of Christians ending up in hell, it is a very sad thing. Okay? I told you once of, what's his name? Jesse Duplantis, a preacher on TV. He's in the States. He had a vision. And in the vision, either a vision or when he was taken up to heaven, and the Lord Jesus told him that most people think that his saddest day, the most painful day of his life, was when he was on the cross. Okay? And Jesus said, no, that wasn't, my worst day. Okay? My worst day is that day. Okay? When people for whom he died, will be going to hell for all eternity. Okay? And Jesus said that is his worst. His worst day is in the future. And he doesn't look forward to it. Because he died for the people. Okay? And some, the majority, rejected him. Okay? And of course, some accepted him, but they remained slaves of unrighteousness. Slaves of lawlessness. And so he's like, that is my worst day and I don't look forward to it. Okay? Even Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, it brought that whole idea of Christians going to, it brought him tears. For he says in verse 18 that I tell you, even weeping, that there are many who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Okay, in context, if you read the whole chapter, he's talking about Christians. They are living as enemies of the cross. And Paul is like, I'm telling you this. No. He says that, as I'm telling you this, I'm even weeping. Weeping. Weeping because I believe, Paul knew, what the destiny, where they are headed, how terrible it is. And it is for all eternity. Okay? He says that they live as enemies of the cross. And he says that their end is destruction. Their end is destruction. Their end is death. Forever in hell. Glory be to God. Amen. Bine bintu baile bwabilo ozako Be very serious. These things are very serious. That is if you really believe that there is a place called heaven, alright, and that there is a place called hell. Most of us live our lives show that we don't really believe that these places exist. We don't really what? Hallelujah. But that should change. Amen? Okay? Now, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul expressed, the joy he looks forward to, when he sees inheriting the kingdom, when he sees the people he preached to, okay? Philippians chapter 2 verse 15 says that, you should become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Okay? Paul is telling, he wants these guys to hold on the word of life, to hold on to Jesus, to bear fruit, so that he may rejoice in the day, when the Lord returns, to rejoice when he sees all these people he preached to entering the kingdom, being ushered into the kingdom, okay? Because, if I don't see you there, I'll be like, man, I wasted my time. I'll be like, you know, it wasn't worth it. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, that is, to an extent, haven't reached that level of Paul, where he really looks, where the joy at Chilaba, But I'm getting there, Basically, I wish that we all make it, into the kingdom. Glory be to God. I wish for that. Glory be to God. Alright? I wish for that. Hallelujah. Not these things of what? Okay, you have, I don't know how many church what? Members, in your church, let's say 1,000, and only what? 100. The rest were just what? Members. But according to heaven, God is like those ones, they lived as enemies of the cross. Hallelujah. So, to be honest, this is bad to say, but I'll say it. If anyone, here, in this church, ends up in hell, I want to make sure that I am never held responsible. When God is like, you're the one who what? Preached stupidity, preached stupid things to people. Mufocho Gamba by youth, what? Remember, last Sunday I told you about Pastor Mark, which was the guy who told him that Havana was a message Gamba. Did you listen to someone? No, you didn't. So I don't want, you get the youth at that age where you can influence their lives, for good, then you just get them to start what? You get them and every time they come to church, like you come on Wednesday to practice what? Dancing. Then on Sunday, then they show their parents the dancing strokes which they were what? Practicing on Thursday. Because you see, by youth, you have to find a way of keeping them in church. Yes, dancing, they can dance for God, but that shouldn't be the primary what? Wasting, the youth. That's why, now you look now like, there were youth who were dancing. In those days, they were youth. 10 years ago in church. Now you go and find out where they are or how they are. You understand? The man, if you're their pastor, you can't boast about them. Well, but 10 years ago you wanted to keep them in church, and therefore you came up with dancing what programs for them. Okay? And man, they can dance if you train them well. But I've seen them like, guys, you know, I used to see them at some church, MC, years ago. Those guys could dance. Eh? You've seen them, okay? And you could have been among them. Okay? But now, I understand the bad thing. In quotes, now, our services is that we have kids in here. Okay? But I would have told you, okay, one of the reasons why some pastors were so into this whole thing of the youth, what? Dancing. Okay? You adults, eh? So you know what I'm talking about. Especially the young boys. You know, eh? You heard what? There was what? Things were happening behind the scenes. Because now, you know, Gamba, yeah, I want my boy to be in church, what? Gendo joining any dancing group, what? And you mess up your son. These things are real, eh? And some of you know them. Eh? All right? Yeah, and don't repeat history. Glory be to God. Okay? Andrew, don't send your what? In church. Church, yeah, okay. We get the youth, get them sing a nice Jesus song. Then they can bang some what? Strokes as they sing. Eh? Okay? And good strokes, not evil what? Evil strokes, you know? And then get them to pray. Get them to shanda. Hallelujah. Before they begin, see what? Eh? First, get them to, get them on fire for God, man. Hallelujah. Those are the guys who, when the Bazungu studied them, when they studied them, these youth, they'll say, ah, now those ones are hard. What should we do for them to vote an idiot into office? You see, eh? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know the thing that I'm talking about, don't you? Or you don't? Okay. If you don't know, then it's good you're here. Eh? That's. That shows that I have some wisdom which you don't have. Okay? Because I'm older than you. I've been around. Hallelujah. I've been what? I've been around. Glory be to God. I've been around. I've seen some things. Of course, now, people like Bruce, what? Know more things than me. And that's why at times I take him out for lunch, you know? Because they know, they've been in places, and they know some stuff, okay? Which, you know? Hallelujah. But most probably, I know more stuff than what? Than him. Because what? Bruce is not yet 30. Now for me, I left the 30s long time ago. Okay? Very soon I'm going to leave the 40s before he gets there. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Okay, now, Paul didn't just wish that on the day of the Lord you will see his people, his folks, his sheep entering the kingdom. Eh? Okay, he didn't just stop at wishing. Okay, he did two things. Okay, number one, he preached the word and he emphasized it, okay? And number two, he also, he prayed for them. Glory be to God. And we should take him for our example. Okay, concerning this thing, holding on to eternal life, bearing fruit, all right? We have to highly esteem the word of God, okay? And number two, we have to pray, okay? For ourselves and also for our loved ones, okay? Paul prayed for himself, I guess, but, yeah. And at the same time, he writes how he was praying for all the churches, okay, that they may bear fruit, that they may be blameless at the coming of the Lord, okay? So that's what we should do, and that's what we're here to talk about. Hallelujah. So, number one, okay, Paul taught and emphasized the undiluted truth. Glory be to God. Okay, so that he, his people may lay hold of the kingdom. Okay, Acts chapter 20, from verse 26. Okay, here Paul is saying farewell to church elders, okay, in Ephesus. Okay, Ephesus right now is in Turkey. Okay, it is in Turkey. So anyway, as Paul is telling them, saying farewell to them, he says in chapter 20, verse 26, that therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned, okay, or I have not avoided to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Okay? The whole counsel. Buli kimu ekigambo kyonna nkibawadde. CJ, I haven't removed what, you know, what I don't want, you know, what sounds bad, what will not grow my church. Okay? He say, I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. Okay? And then he says, I am innocent of the blood of all men. Okay? And by the way, like I said, that is also what I want to say of myself. Okay? And that's what I want God to say of me. Okay? That I am innocent of the blood of all men. If anyone, okay, ends up in hell, I'm not responsible. You understand? Eh? Okay? And I want God to say that of me. He's like, those ones, you know, Pastor Moses, you know, my son, Pastor Moses, you're not responsible for that one. Oyo wa mugamba, no musavira, no muwe chigambo. Okay? Na yevi decided. Bagana. And God is like, you did your job. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Okay? I don't hold you accountable for that. Alright? That's what I want. And that's what all of you, okay? If you are a leader of any kind, leaders in the worship team, leaders in church, leaders in families, alright? You know, do the will of God, okay, such that, okay, God can save you. That, you know, whatever happens to these people you are a leader over, you know, you're not responsible for any bad outcome. Hallelujah. Not responsible. Okay? Now, like in the past, remember, when the obvious things, you know, when they happen, okay? Now, for me, I told the people God had placed me over. Okay? I told them this has happened. Now, God can never hold me accountable. Okay? For people who are being destroyed. I'm not responsible. I'm not. Okay? In fact, that year, at the end of that year, okay, there was a dream which came when God was saying that, okay, in Uganda, okay, he had considered me that year as the number one pastor, the number one shepherd, because I was a true shepherd. Glory be to God. So Paul says, I've declared unto you the whole counsel of God. Alright? Kati, mwaba mani. For me, I'm innocent. If you mess yourselves up, for me, I'm what? Innocent. Hallelujah. Okay? In fact, one day I'm going to name myself innocent. Okay, I mean, other people have given themselves with names. Why not me? Okay? Till how, you know? Till how, you know? Innocent. Tell the same man. Innocent. Hallelujah. Pastor Moses, innocent. We can throw away the Musenguzi, no? Innocent. Okay? Then, verse 32, Acts 20. Okay? He's speaking to the elders in Ephesus. He's saying farewell. And he says that now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Okay? He's commending them to the word. The word, all right, of his grace, which is able to build you up, okay, and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Do you know what it means by sanctification? Well, sanctification basically means holiness, okay? Holiness means being set apart, okay, in the context of the scriptures, set apart for God. Eh? You're not like what? The rest of the evil people, you're set apart. Eh? Okay, you're living like how God would want you to live. That's what it means by holiness. That's what it means by sanctification. Okay, and for those who are sanctified, there is an inheritance for them. Okay, they're going to inherit the kingdom of God. And what is going to enable them to inherit the kingdom of God? It is the word. Glory be to God. So he commends them to the word of God's grace. Eh? You understand? Okay? Omtunakwa Bible na gamba by echigamo nchikuwa de watai soma vivyo. Okay? Commend them to the word. You know. Glory be to God. So, we should pay attention to that. Eh? Let's pay attention to the word. Let us not, you know, just wasting your time on Facebook. Every time when you know you're on your phone and you're not like you're not in the now, there's nothing wrong with Facebook if you use it right. There's nothing wrong with WhatsApp if you're using it, you know, well, like God. But all the time, you're the one who knows all the lugambo around the world, all the rubbish, all the, you know, because you always, okay, give time to the word of God. Hallelujah. Give time to the what? The word of God. Nkwanz, give time to the word of God. Read your Bible, what? Every day. Hallelujah. Okay? All right? Read your Bibles, guys. Read your what? Read your Bibles. Okay, the word of God, you see, it will build you up. It will make you strong. You won't easily fall for temptation. You understand? You'll get an appetite for good, for the good things when you are in the word. But if you're not in the word, I'm telling you, somehow you become carnal. You know, your reasoning becomes stupid. Okay? Your desires become the desires of the world. Muliku Facebook, looking at all the what? The demonic fashions, women's fashions. They call them fashions or designs. Or it's the same thing. Diana. Who is that black chick who married the prince? What's her name? That woman, by the way, is very evil. I hope you know it. For you like her, because what? She's black, what? But she's very evil. Do you know that what she did was wrong? Everything she's doing, she messed up that guy. She messed up that guy. You understand? You don't marry into a family, then you decide to mess them up and say what? His mother is what? You know, his father, you know, and then what again? She messed up that shit. But you know, we are so, you know, do you know that even Diana, some of the things she did were not godly. You're married to a man, then you're hobnobbing with another man, then, you know, then you're speaking against authority. the authority over you. You know, then the media somehow gets us to fall in love with Lady Diana. And we know everything. Diana wasn't a saint. Do you understand? Neither is this Kachik also. If I was listening to Robert Lyadon, and he says, I had a church in L.A., you know, and never marry an L.A. girl. Okay? Then he gave an example. You see, they are like that. You know, that chick is from L.A., I guess, you know. L.A. girls are like that. He was there, he stayed there for years, and he knows them, and he had such in his church. You see, now she has messed up a royal family. L.A. girls. Okay. You have to be careful before what you start to. Now you support her because what she's black and what that girl was, her grandfather was a racist or what. Now what she has her rights now. Yeah, who do they think they? Yeah, what ma Harry? What's the guy's name? Harry what? Okay. Eden, Harry is not a good guy. Okay. I had my daughter, you know. Somehow she has begun to know those things. What? Glory be to God. Say amen. What I wish you to do, people, it is, don't quickly jump on two bandwagons. You understand? Temu woka mangu. Hallelujah. First, you know, have a biblical worldview. The things this person is doing, the things, what? Even if they are my tribe, but really, are they, you know, are they according to the word? Do you understand? That Kagali is very evil. Very, very what? Deadly man. She has messed up Bambi Kagali, like a stupid guy. Okay? Her husband messed him up properly. Properly. Okay? Gotten him out of his family and, you know, and that thing, you watch this space. It's not going to end well. That Kagali might end up regretting. I'm telling you, you're joking with LA girls. Okay? Now, there are people in Uganda who also say that, man, don't be careful with Kampala girls. But that is another one. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, so because Paul emphasized the word, he was like, you guys, the word. Okay? He went ahead and told his spiritual son, Timothy, the same thing. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15. He tells Timothy that you, Timothy, from childhood, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. For what? Salvation. The holy scriptures. Okay, will build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are being sanctified. Okay, he says the holy scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. People keep in the book. Keep in the Bible. Alright? Then he says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is a big word which simply means teaching. Okay? Scripture is profitable. It is good for teaching. For reproof. Reproof means you are rebuke. Okay? There's a generation which they want rebuke. The moment you rebuke them, the moment you tell them you're wrong in this, you know, they think, why they'll throw a tantrum, they what, you know, And especially kids who are not spanked, adults who are not spanked when they are growing up. You know, they, every time you tell them something, you're wrong here. It's like, you know, somehow someone deceived them that they are angels. I don't know. Okay? And if they are saved, you tell them, but the word say, at that moment, they say, what? The word, who cares? The word. It's like all of a sudden, a devil enters them. Eh? Okay? But Paul is like, yeah, you know the word, teach it, okay? Use it to rebuke, use it to correct, okay? Use it to instruct in righteousness, right living. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I wonder why Christian men and women play evil music on their weddings. Ate before the wedding, batandikira kukwanjula. Evil music. Evil music. Yeah? Then now what? That's any year you tell them, but man, oh, is that music? You only more local. Ate only more worship team. You can't say you. No love in your power. Then what? No, who are you to judge? The Bible says don't judge. First of all, the Bible doesn't say that. You are in Pastor Moses. I know a verse we say don't judge. Okay, now I'm also telling you that verse doesn't mean what you think. Therefore, your verse is not there in the Bible. Who are you to judge? God said, don't judge. Yeah, but you see, the scriptures are there for correction, for rebuke. I hope none of the worship team will ever be involved in a music group, a band, which sings evil songs, very dirty songs on, you know, wedding, just because of money. And they know it. So, Paul tells Timothy that babuli le chigamba abana tobakola tobazanyisa. Hallelujah. Now, what I'm doing right now, all these things I'm telling you, I'm messing you up, I am making sure that if there are bad outcomes in your lives and you don't enter the kingdom, I am innocent of the blood of all men. Innocent. Wababulila, innocent. And by the way, now, yeah, there was a powerful dream that came for our worship, you know, team girls, man. Powerful dream. Wonderful dream. Now, if, yeah, you don't have to invite me for your wedding. Okay? You don't have to invite me for your introduction. You don't. I think now you can use an excuse, COVID. COVID, you know, the numbers are limited. Okay? Please, if you're going to play stupid demonic songs, please don't what? Because somehow, you see, that's why I don't want to attend what? Sometimes you look at a person and like, should I attend that thing? Because you're like, do I see them? I think it's Saturday and I'm going to preach on Sunday. Okay? I mean, the way Balokole does on wedding, you know, I'm telling you, years ago, there was a study done in the United States, okay? And the study showed that there is no difference between Christians and non-Christians. As far as they behave, there is no difference. Now, that is very sad. That is very sad. That is very sad. You look at, you know, a girl who has come out of church on Sunday, to, you know, then you're going to say, oh, you're going to church. Guys will argue, say, no, that girl is not. Mulu, who is it? Bambala baba chomu kanisa. Bambala angani. Mama who? Kwezi, but manzi. Kwezi. But I'm not saying you should all do it. You understand? I'm just, Look at men. Men are thugs. Balokole men. Just thugs. You enter their cars, the music they are playing. That music you're playing is getting into your mind, your soul, and you're going to produce what that music is supposed to produce. Hallelujah. Then you play that. Anyway, you guys, okay? There should come a generation, there should come a group of people where man, God is like, yeah. When, anyway, you understand what I mean? Yeah, you can't be saying no to understand. But for me, I am innocent of what? The blood. Hallelujah. So where were we? Okay? So we continue. So Paul continues and ends up in chapter 4 and verse 1. He tells Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Do what? Preach the word. Alright? Then the continues, say, convince, rebuke. Okay? Verse 3. For the time will come, and that time has come. Okay? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching. They won't endure it. But they can't endure what? The truth. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Do you know what itching ears, what it means? It means people, you know, they don't want to listen to the truth, you know. They want to listen to things which condone their bad behavior, their immorality, their stupidity. That's what it means by itching ears. A time will come when people are going to have itching ears, and we're in that time. Okay? And because of that, what will they do? They will heap up for themselves teachers. Okay? And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Well, fables are just fictitious, stupid, what? Stories. So they will turn to things which are not true. And they know that they are not true, but because those things condone their stupidity. Okay? But Timothy is told by Paul, Gwetova kuchigambo. Babulile. And if you do that, you'll be like me. Innocent of the blood of all men. Glory be to God. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen, because what is coming, you need to what? To fast. Whatever yourself borrowing. But let me forgive you. Okay? Hallelujah. You know, I want to be like Paul, to rejoice at the coming of the Lord, that I did not run only by in vain when you ushered into the kingdom. Glory be to God. That's my desire. Because I believe heaven exists, the kingdom of God exists, is coming, and I also believe that hell exists. I believe those things, man. I believe them. I've never been to heaven. Mobody, it's called that. You know, in a vision. This man has been there many times. You know, his daughters have been there. For me, I've never. Okay? But I believe what they tell me they saw there. I believe when they tell me that place. And what they say is in the word. I believe, man. Okay? And I believe hell exists. Glory be to God. Now, if you don't want to listen to that, you can go to hell if you're Christian. What you're going to do, you're going to heap up for yourself teachers who will tell you what you want to hear. Okay? And you end up together in the same place. Okay? But you shouldn't. Eh? Glory be to God. So, Paul emphasized the word. And what he did, by the way, was exactly what Jesus told us to do in what we call the Great Commission. Okay? The Great Commission. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. Okay? Then he says, teach them, okay, to obey everything I've commanded you. Teach them to obey. Alright? Teach them to do what? To obey. And that's essentially what Paul was saying. Hallelujah. Dr. Kajimba, we should make sure we are innocent of what? The blood of all men. Hallelujah. Nantawa, be, you know, do your work innocent of the blood of what? Of what? Parliamentarians. Hallelujah. So, I told you Paul wanted people to enter the kingdom. He wanted to experience a glory. He wanted to, you know, to rejoice. There was that joy when people were, but he didn't leave it at just wishing. Okay? He preached the word and he encouraged fellow preachers like Timothy to do the same. Okay? And number two, he prayed for his people. He prayed for the churches. Glory be to God. He prayed for the churches. He prayed that, number one, they may receive a revelation of heaven. And if you get a revelation of heaven, you won't, you will live in a way that will get you there. Okay? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 to 18, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Okay, do you know what the hope of his calling, what it entails or what it means? Okay, you get that the definition of that in Colossians chapter 1 verse 5. Okay, in there, he talks about the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So the hope of Jesus' calling, okay, is what awaits you in heaven. Okay, so Paul prayed for that, that people may have a revelation of heaven. Glory be to God. Okay, you see, Jesus said in John chapter 14, from verse 2, he said that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Okay? The place is prepared for you where? In heaven. And Paul now is praying for these people to get a revelation of that place, which is prepared for them. Glory be to God. Okay? And that's my prayer for you. That you may get a revelation of heaven. And also a revelation of hell. That's why I love these guys who have been, what? Who have been there. You know, like that guy who has been here at church. Joseph and Sobuka, you know, man, their experiences, man, I love hearing those things because they keep me in the right path. They help me to keep me in the right path. Glory be to God. Okay? Paul also prayed that the people he had discipled, that they would keep the faith. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 to 17 says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Jesus Christ. Bow my knees simply means I kneel. Hallelujah. Okay? Yes. You can kneel. You can pray while you're kneeling. Okay, so I pray to the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Okay? Christ may dwell. Now, I remember those days, this verse used to mess me up. You know, because, you know, we're taught, okay, that when Christ is in you, okay, he can never what? Can never live. It is forever. You know what I say, you know? Then I would read this scripture that Christ may dwell in you. I remember I did studies, I researched, I googled, okay? And the closest I got to, you know, was a guy who said that it means that Christ may dwell in you more. But is that what it says? It just says that Christ may dwell in you. He didn't say that he may dwell in you more. He already dwells in you. Paul is saying that he may dwell in you more. It's not there, it just says he may dwell in you. Okay? He may stay in you. Okay? How? By your faith in him. Meaning that, you know, you can throw him out, okay? You stop believing in him. And then he will exit. So Paul prayed, okay, that the Ephesians, okay, may keep the faith. Glory be to God. Keep the faith. Whatever happens, don't throw in the towel. Don't turn your back on the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And lastly, he prayed, and we talked about this already, that, okay, they may know the truth and do it. Okay? That they may know the word. They may know what is required of them. That they may know how a Christian is supposed to live. And don't stop at knowing, but continue to do what they know. Okay? For those, if you're not a doer of the word, when you're just a hearer, the Bible says, you're deceiving yourself. Okay? So Colossians chapter 1, this is the last verse, don't worry. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, we heard of what? Your salvation at Mulokose. Okay? We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Okay, filled with the knowledge, okay? You know what God desires for you, how he would want you to live. Okay? You may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10, that you may walk. So you not only know, but you go ahead to walk accordingly. Alright? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. So what Paul prayed for the churches is what I pray for you. Glory be to God. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that you may get a revelation of heaven. That you may get a revelation of, Jesus went to prepare a place for you in heaven and is coming again. I pray that you may get a glimpse, okay? I pray that if it's God's will, he may give you a vision. He may take you up into heaven and see the glory that awaits you, the good thing that awaits you. That you may know that he has called you. You know, he's preparing to take you to that place where the presence of God will be at its max, if there's anything like that. Where God lives, that you're going to be there. He's called you to that. And of course, you come here on earth and you live in his kingdom and it's going to be glorious. That's my prayer for you. Hallelujah. I pray that you may know the truth, that you may take the word of God seriously. That you may open the word and read it and be a doer of the word. That you may bear fruit unto holiness and thereby take hold of eternal life. Thank you, Father. I pray, O God, for Eriti, that none of them may depart from you because of maybe the cares of this life. And the riches of the deceitfulness of riches, or because of persecution, because of trials, or because things don't happen, you know, like they expected to. I pray that, Father, by faith in you, Christ will continue to dwell in them. In the name of Jesus. Father, help us, Lord. Help us to really believe that there is something called eternity. Help us to know that you're coming again for a church which has no spot, a church without a wrinkle, a church that is blameless and perfect in you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, for he's our helper. By him, you know, you convict us when we sin and you enable us to repent. He enables us to live according to the word, to your commandments, which are not even burdensome. Father, help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. And may we preach the truth to those you bring our way. May we tell them the truth, the undiluted truth of God. the whole counsel of God. Not just bits and bits here, we're telling them what their itching ears want to hear, but the whole counsel of God. So that when it's all said and done, you may say of us that we are innocent of the blood of men who decided to act contrary to your ways. We thank you, Father, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.